One of the coolest sounds of early spring is the quacking of wood frogs. And one of the places I hear them every year is in a pond near a railroad trestle near the St. Louis River in West Duluth. It's a badly polluted pond in an area where people dump a disturbing amount of trash. Right next to or in this tiny pond were a television set, a vacuum cleaner, tires, containers, and other garbage, along with two festering deer carcasses. Unfortunately, the poor frogs don't know how to search out better breeding grounds. They have an inborn urge to return to the place where they hatched out, and if they wander in the wrong direction, they're likely to be hit on Highway 39 anyway. So they stick it out, maybe hoping that the humans who claim that God gave them dominion over the earth will eventually pick up after themselves. I go out to this spot on the St. Louis River at least once or twice every spring because it's the best spot this side of the state line for seeing tundra swans. And as I get out of my car, I always hear my first wood frogs of the year. They're one of the earliest frogs each year because they can survive colder temperatures than most cold-blooded animals. The U.S. Geological Survey's website notes that wood frogs are found from Alaska through much of Canada, where winters are very severe. They survive by being able to withstand being frozen down to minus 5 degrees Celsius, 23 degrees Fahrenheit, or lower. They do this by increasing the amount of glucose stored in their cell fluids. The high concentration acts as antifreeze, lowering the freezing point. By preventing the cells from freezing on the inside, the cell membrane is not ruptured and the frog survives. Nevertheless, one-third of the frog's body fluids, mainly interstitial fluids, which are the fluids between the cells, can become frozen during the winter without harming the frog. Every year I listen to these frogs, their ducky quacks, lusty evidence that winter is definitely over. But I seldom take time to look for them. This week, when I went to the spot, I pointed my spotting scope at the pond and scrutinized it until I found some of the little quackers. Some of them were sitting on trash at the end of the water. Others were floating at the surface. It was really fun watching them call. With each quack, huge air sacs along their sides inflated and deflated in a rapid prairie chicken sort of way. I digiscoped a few photos but couldn't capture the inflated pouches, so I digiscoped some video with my digital camera and the telescope. That's when I noticed that one of the frogs floating in the water was covered with at least six mosquitoes sucking its blood. The 23-second video I took shows the frog calling several times, the mosquitoes hanging on firmly even when the air sacs jostle them. I somehow never realized that mosquitoes don't limit themselves to warm-blooded food. Apparently, Kermit didn't understand that frogs of other colors have just as hard a time as the green ones. If you want to see the video of the mosquito-covered frog, go to birderblog.com and scroll to the April 13th entry about wood frogs. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.